Hello and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. Joining me as always, World Herald prep recruiting expert, specialist, whichever he prefers, it depends on the day. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. Either one works, but expert's a little aggressive, I think. But that's all right. Let's just get right to it.
I am all for that. We have 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3 in Class A. Stu Pospisil noted it. That almost never happens. Bellevue West versus Elkhorn South. That's the 1 versus 4. What are you looking for from this one?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of points. I'm not quite sure how much defense is going to be played, but I do want to highlight both lines. I think obviously that's where the game's going to be won. The notable names, you know, Teddy Prochazka, Isaac Zadiska, they're the guys that get talked about a lot or the most for Elkhorn South. But they do have good skill guys and other linemen on their team. Cooper Taylor started as a sophomore just like Prochazka and Zadiska did. And speaking of juniors, Makai Nelson Douglas is a really good player, can really rush the passer. Plays quarterback. You really can move him around a lot on the offensive side too. But I like him as a pass. I really like him as a pass rusher. And for Bellevue West, their line, it's going to be a battle of lines. Obviously, I think clearly Bellevue West has the advantage in skill position players. Anyone would be crazy to not think that. So it'll be interesting. We'll see if Elkhorn South tries to just kind of control the ball. They don't throw it much anyway, but it'll be kind of, we'll see how much Elkhorn South can get it done as far as on the ground. And a big piece of that, of stopping their ground attack, is going to be Bellevue West line. And their offensive line's also pretty good too, so led by Thomas Ault. TJ Griffin is a two-way player, Cameron Kodat. Caden Lynn and sophomore Henry Rickles have all kind of rotated in. And then Shannon at three technique or defensive tackle is going to have a pretty big game for them too on the other side of the ball. So kind of skipping around there, but that's just where it's going to matter, I think, the most. I think Jay Ducker probably has a big game. I think Xavier Betts has a big game. The return of Nate Sullivan, he's back. He'll play. He's coming off of a broken foot that he suffered this summer. That's going to be huge for Bellevue West to get another piece. They already have pieces with, like I said, Betts, Ducker.
Keegan Johnson.
Keegan Johnson, Micah Riley, Caden Helms. That's their receiving core right there. It's pretty good. So it'll be tough for them to stop. But, you know, I mean, you do have – one of the for my money, I think one of the better linebackers in the state at Elkhorn South, and Jack Paradis, I think he's really good. Bo Whistler is opposite him, kind of on the inside too. I think both those guys are gonna, you know, do their best to stop the run. I think there's gonna be a lot of points. I just do. It'll be a game probably at least in the 30s, maybe. Someone's gonna have to score in the 30s to win easily. I mean, maybe more. And it could be Bellevue West. Now, on the other hand, I say, hey, this could be a close game. Bellevue West could roll them. Elkhorn South, this is their one time. They got blown out in the first week 4 of last year, I guess. And then in the playoffs, it was only a 7-point game, but it was 37-30 or something like that. So, you know, have they closed that gap to be one of the elite teams in Class A after being an elite in Class B? This is a test for them. And I think they have a shot to get it done. It's at Bellevue West. Just slowing down that offense is going to be awfully hard to do. I don't do predictions. I don't want to do that. Right. I just want to dig into kind of some of that stuff. But, you know, and on the other side, on Bellevue West's defense doesn't get talked about, like, enough at all. But they've only given up in 3 games. I don't care who they played. They've given up, 13 points, some low number as far as points. So
they shut out Bellevue East.
Yeah, shut out Bellevue East, gave up 6 and 6, I think. So I think they're going to have 12 or 13 points or something like that. It's way too low.
Yeah.
And that has Ryan Rogers is another junior linebacker for Bellevue West. I love Ryan Rogers.
I think he's really good. He's coming back this year off of a knee injury that he missed most, if not all, last year. And Jack McDonald's the team's leading tackler right now at strong safety for Bellevue West. So, you know, you have star power and you have a kid like a Jack McDonald that doesn't get talked about ever by me and other people. I'm just, right. You know, I'm saying, I think the sidelines will be packed. I think there'll be a lot of college coach interest because there's a lot of stars there.
Yep.
You have Prohaska, who has offers from Nebraska and Northwestern and Michigan and a few other places. And then Betts is committed to Nebraska, and Ducker's committed to Northern Illinois, and Sullivan's committed to South Dakota State. I mean, there's just so much there. And Zadiska is another kid that has a lot of interest from Northwestern, Nebraska's two schools off the top of my head. You know, quarterback play, both are very athletic. Nate Glantz and then Brown for Elkhorn South. Both are really athletic. Both can run. Glantz may be a little better thrower, I think, but not much. They're pretty similar athletes and players. So if you look at it, you look at it on paper, like, yeah, it's pretty even-ish on the lines. Quarterback's pretty even. But the skill probably gives you the nod to Bellevue West. And now watch Bellevue West probably go out and score, like, you know, 70 points and win 70 to 20 or something crazy. But now that I said that, but it's just it's one of the games that obviously is a big
if
game.
If Elkhorn South can lean on that big, strong line, keep it close, control the clock, keep the talent off the field.
Right. That's going to be something. And I'll tell you what, Teddy Prohaska, I saw him at practice. I haven't seen him in the first 3 weeks. I really like him as a defensive lineman or a defensive tackle. I like him a lot there.
Well, we've noted
6'9", huge. Yeah. I mean,
not a lot of high schoolers can block.
No, yeah, and he, I mean, obviously plays tackle on the offensive line, but everyone keeps pegging him for that. He can one, he can get to the passer. Two, he can fill up a lot of running lanes and stuff. I mean, on the defensive side, so that'll be something to look for too. I expect a ton of people there. Arrive early if you're going to that one. So.
On to the next.
Yeah.
Number two, number three, Millard South versus Millard West. Another dandy.
Yeah, Millard South, Millard West. I think this will kind of be the opposite of the Elkhorn South Bellevue West game. I think it's going to be not a lot of points and a lot of defense and a lot of running the ball. Two really athletic quarterbacks. Tristan Gomez, who's committed to Cal State Fullerton for baseball, has led that running option attack all year for Millard West. And then TJ Urban, who is a great dual threat player too, as far as a runner and thrower. Right now, he's probably a little ahead as a runner. Isaiah Harris is really good running back.
He has 9 touchdowns already this season. He had 20 his first 2 years combined.
Right. So that's something there too, and that's also behind their line. I mean, you have Cole Herbelsheimer who. Just committed to Wyoming.
That's great, the news we'll touch on later.
Yeah, huge pickup for them. And then Junior Bo Wint, I love him as a left guard. David Braun at center, Jake Mayville at right guard, who's a senior, and Junior Jack Nicholson. I can't pronounce it. Nicholson, whatever.
Oh, I thought you meant the actor.
Yeah. So anyway, he's at right tackle. I really like him too. I think he's got a really good future as a college prospect too, if he wants to be. So that's their line. They just run behind those guys. And Millard West is no slouch too on their offensive line. They've been getting it done clearly, and that'll be the bat. Like that's such a battle there. There's going to be a lot of hitting and heavy hitting and all that stuff. If Chase Purchill plays, that helps a ton. Coming back from a PCL injury, we'll see. But Tyler Cobb is a junior at left tackle for Millard West. Nate Raymond, sophomore. Left guard. He's the only sophomore on both of these two lines and two top four teams, so he must be pretty good, right? Like, it doesn't happen very often. Lucas Gapp is a senior at center. Noah Klein, senior right guard. And CJ Zenda, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, is a junior right tackle. I mean, it's kind of a pretty much rebuilt line this year for Millard West, and they are clearly getting the job done. They're 3-0. They ran a gauntlet of the first 4 weeks. And then on the outside, you have Dallas Beanham and Caden Otterman, who I really like, both of them at wide receiver. So, you know, it should be a really good game, too. I won't be there because I will be at Oakland South Bellevue West because that won our Pinnacle Bank game of the week.
Yep.
But I will be following along very closely find out what happens. I just think it's going to be a low-scoring kind of defensive game because that's how both teams like to play.
A knockdown, drag-it-out brawl.
Right.
As well as our next one, Omaha Burke, Omaha North.
Right.
Quickly, what can we expect out of this
one? So not a whole lot of love lost between North and Burke. Whenever those two get together, I don't care if it's like June and they're doing like a scrimmage or 7-on-7 on a Wednesday morning or something, I like to be there because you never know what's going to happen. athletes, obviously, clearly, Burke has probably a little advantage on the line. A rivalry game it's turned into more of a rivalry game in the last few years with the success that both schools have had in the last 10. Both schools like to try and get the same kids to go to their school. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. So, one matchup that I really would be interested to see if they just shadow him or not is Xavier Watts and Marquis Siegel. Siegel's committed to North Dakota State as a defensive back. I talk about him all the time. I love him as a player. And then Watts clearly is my number one player in the state and
Notre Dame
as a wide receiver. So we'll see. Jalen Roussel came back healthy, running the ball for Burke last week. He had a huge game against Omaha Central. So we'll see if he'll be able to do that again. Again, I'm not sure there's going to be a ton of points in this game. Yeah. And North's got to get it going a little bit on the offensive side. I mean, they playing a bunch of different guys at running back. They got to get the passing game, at least a little bit of the passing game. Carter Martin is a player that I think can at least get you 5-10 yards, whatever, or be a red zone sort of threat. Maybe use him on out routes to just kind of open up a little bit of the running game. It would be my suggestion, but I'm not a coach.
Right. As a fan of those game-within-the-game matchups, I hope we do get the Siegel-Watts.
Right, that'd be fun.
But a few other matchups I want to run down. We can't really preview them. Class B, you got Scott versus York. Big rivalry game
Scott
there. Yeah,
Scott-York is turned into sort of a rivalry, right? Scott was... is number one. York just lost a tough one to McCook, who was 0-2. But now, you know, Scott's never been to, I talked to Coach Sherman, he's never been to York, to East Hill Stadium on a baseball field and kind of the quirkiness that goes along with it. So that, and there's a lot of fans that show up to that game, and let's just frankly say there isn't a whole lot of love lost on the York side for Scott. So just because they beat him the last 2 years, and one of them was in the state championship.
Then we also have Class B, number 4, Grand Island Northwest, against C1, number 6, Aurora.
Yeah, Northwest is kind of on a roll. They lost. I hope Northwest doesn't have the kind of Roncalli sort of letdown the week after playing a really good team and playing them close. Like Roncalli lost last week to Waverly and gave up 600-plus yards rushing. Northwest defense is their key. Unlike the last couple of years where they've just kind of thrown it around and running the ball, playing really good defense, and only lost, if you're into moral victories, only lost to Scotts Bluff 18-12 or whatever it was last week. So, and Aurora is looking for a bounce back win after, you know, losing. They've lost two. Last week they lost to Wahoo. Wahoo could totally control the clock in the running game. So if that's what Northwest is going to do, you know, they have to get that figured out. But Coach Peterson does such a great job. They'll eventually get it figured out by the end of the year. I think they'll still be a threat in C1.
Definitely. Let's jump to our prospect watch here. A couple 2020 guys. Obviously, let's lead off with the big news. Cole Herbolsheimer to Wyoming. He's a guy that you really like.
Yeah.
Where does he project to fit on that offensive line?
He's going to play interior line. Offensive line, offensive guard is what Wyoming wants him to play. That's what Cole told me today. There's a story on NEBHS recruiting that just a quick kind of hitter on why Wyoming and all that. So interior line, I think he could probably play center too. And he could move to the defensive side of the ball if they wanted him, I think, eventually. He's just You know, he's not 6'5". That's his only kind of issue there. He's still kind of got long arms. He's a hard worker, great kid. And Wyoming is kind of the perfect fit for him, he said. He likes the outdoors and hunting and fishing and stuff. And what do you do in Wyoming? And play football. So that's what he is.
And they have a good program up there.
Yeah, they're winning and clearly, like, have some Nebraska kids on their team and even linemen, you know, that have played. Patrick Arnold at Gretna, Gavin Rush, another one. Rui Stauffer is starting left tackle from Kearney at Wyoming right now. So they add another piece there, too, in Herbolsheimer. I think it's a really good get for Wyoming.
Definitely. And then I want to highlight a couple names here. Number 9 on your 2020 rankings, Miko Mazner from Kearney. I know we don't touch on those Western kids a whole lot, but last week he had 3 rushing touchdowns in the first half alone.
Right.
Finished with 18 carries for 133 yards, most of that in the first half. What can we expect this week from
him? I mean, he's committed to Princeton. He's going to have, a pretty nice career there, and he's just fully healthy. Last year he was kind of dinged up all year long and never really kind of got back to where he was as a sophomore and being that electric guy. So, you know, expect big things from him going forward too, I'd say.
And going off your top 10 rankings a little bit here, Papillion La Vista South linebacker, defensive end, Trajan Lanier. He's your number 4 D lineman. He was in Lincoln last week for the Northern Illinois-Nebraska game.
Yeah, I think that's probably, you know, a potential walk-on deal for Nebraska, maybe. I think Nebraska's only taken about 10 walk-ons this year, so I think they're going to be a little more picky with that. But we'll see. Trajan just can get to the ball. I mean, he's a sort of game wrecker, outside linebacker. Kind of slight a little, but he's like 190. But he has a good frame. You can put good weight on him. And he is relentless at getting to the quarterback. So he's a guy that, you know, you look at, and Southeast Missouri Division II school offered him on Sunday. And, you know, Nebraska had him up. We'll see if Nebraska goes on, like, the walk-on side of there. Yeah. I know he's got some other things. He's camped at South Dakota State and some other schools like that. We'll see what ends up happening with him.
Does he project more as an outside linebacker?
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, pass rusher, outside linebacker.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of guys, 2021. Obviously the big name, Chetty Prohaska, Elkhorn South. We talked about him a little bit before. The news here that I want to talk about is last week in Lincoln, he was courted by 2020 commits, Turner Corcoran, Nash, Huttmacher.
Yeah.
Those are the names as Nebraska fans that you want trying to get Teddy.
And these, I guess, three, they kind of hit it off a little bit. Teddy told me Turner and him kind of know each other. First time he met Nash, it's fine. It's obviously just something that everyone's always going to do. If you're on campus and you have committed guys and there's a guy that the school wants, they're going to put the committed guys on that guy to try and, you know, talk to him about, hey, man, come join us. We're building something special here. This is a great place. Da, da, da. You know, all the buzzwords, right?
Yeah.
So, Teddy went back to Nebraska. It's pretty easy for him to get there. and, I mean, frankly, he's been there a ton. Mm-hmm. So, Nebraska's in a good place for him, I think. We'll see what he eventually ends up doing. It's probably not going to be anything anytime soon, I don't think. But I would say Nebraska's probably in the lead. But it's hard. You know, Michigan's there. He's got some offers now. So we'll see what ends up happening. But I do think that Nebraska's, you know, really kind of far ahead in the lead there.
Good standing. All right, one last name here, Omaha Westside offensive lineman, defensive lineman, Cade Haberman. Last week he visited South Dakota State.
Yeah, South Dakota State visit. He also got an offer from the Jackrabbits. He started at offensive tackle as a true freshman at Westside. It's like,
that's really a big deal.
And now he's playing both ways, or both sides of the ball, defensive line. He's a really good wrestler, lost, I think, in the semifinals, if I'm right, at heavyweight last year in Class A. And I just love his motor and his attitude, the way he goes about his business. He's tough, physical, doesn't really back down no matter the score or situation or time or anything like that. And really just kind of keeps himself, like, isn't, like, look at me guy.
Yeah.
He just goes and gets stuff done. I know South Dakota State obviously really loves him. He camped really well. in the summer in June. So we'll see what happens. More stuff maybe hopefully comes for him, because I think he's a really good player.
And he's a coach's kid. His dad is the assistant at Westside.
Right.
Justin Haberman. So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he clearly does. And the one thing, too, kind of like a Herbolsheimer, they're kind of in the same vein. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have the true measurables as far as height. But at some point, you know, put the film on and you watch him play and he's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we'll see. That's his first offer. I'm happy for him. He's a really good kid and works really hard.
Definitely. And then to close things out here, a couple notes. Next week on the podcast, you'll be joined by Mike Patterson.
Right.
Talk about the first month of high school volleyball, mm-hmm. where things are standing, looking forward to districts coming up in the next month. Figure we'll take some fan questions there. Sure. Get some stuff there. And then why don't you talk for a little bit? We announced this week the coaches clinic.
Yeah. So for the third year in a row, we have NEBHS recruiting.com coaches clinic, and proceeds go to Coaches Versus Cancer and to our nonprofit here, Goodfellows, which Goodfellows, not many people know, goes to help support families in need, whether it be for rent or just paying like electricity and things like that. So pretty neat. So that's where the money goes. But we have a great lineup, secured some good names. Eric Henderson, the new head coach at South Dakota State, is going to lead off the day at 8 a.m. And then after that, UNO men's basketball or Omaha men's basketball, they're going to practice the mm-hmm. for like 75 minutes. So you get to hear what Coach Hansen's talking about and why they're doing what they're doing for the whole 90 minutes. And then Fred Hoiberg.
Wow, you really buried the lead there.
Yeah, Fred Hoiberg is coming. And he's going to talk about offensive concepts. And then Creighton head coach, women's head coach Jim Flannery is going to come mm-hmm. and share some insights and I think defensive stuff. So looking forward to that day. It's always kind of neat to kind of give back to one, people in need, and then obviously Coaches Versus Cancer is a big deal too. So it's October 12th. You can mm-hmm. sign up. NEBHSrecruiting.com. There's a little thing on the right of the page there if you go, and you can see all the information there. But really looking forward to that day. It's a kind of a special day for me. This kind of a culmination of a lot of work and conversations.
Our guys do a great job of on Friday nights tracking down how all those prospects did. Mm-hmm. It's a good resource for fans and good way for the kids to kind of get their name out there and their recognition. You'll be at the game of the week, Elkhorn South, Bellevue West. Be sure to follow Mike at Mike Sutter OWH on Twitter, Any Prep Zone on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening.